Welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your hump days are off to a good start. We got a ton to get to over the next 2 hours, an anonymous survey out of the NBA. What guys from Portland show up on the list? We got Saturday Story coming up in the final hour, and the good playoff series happened tonight in the association. We'll get to all that over the next 2 hours of the show. Excited for this one, though. One of our favorites and a guy who can help explain a lot of stuff to us is our friend Bobby Marks from ESPN, at BobbyMarks42 on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. Bobby, good morning to you. How annoying is it in your life of people throwing random trade scenarios at you? And does it get frustrating to never have that probably stop?
I don't pay attention to it anymore. I mean, I can pop on TV and see Jaylen Brown for Giannis this morning, and I'm like, oh, my God, what are we doing here? So, yeah, I just kind of – listen, I think my goal is just to give you the rules, and if it works and if it doesn't work, and give you a synopsis. And I would say that 97% of the trades that are out there probably aren't true. So, it's all good, though. It's we all work in an entertainment business, so I totally get it. Comes with part of it.
Yeah. Well, I was more curious too earlier because we were talking about the scenario for you. Like the last time, or how often does it happen? If you're at like a local coffee shop, you
standing
haven't gotten
in line,
the coffee yet?
The guy behind you, hey Bobby. By the way, Giannis for 4 first round picks. Who says no?
You know, it's funny. I had it happen to me. I had it happen at a urinal in Atlanta airport. I was in there and I had a guy like look at me and he like did a double take, you know? And I was like, yeah, I'm like, just ask the question, you know, like just ask the question and stuff like that. So
do you remember the trade he threw at you?
I don't even know. No, I don't think he was a Hawks fan. I think he might have been just passing through and stuff like that. I was in the Orlando airport last night. I was walking through the food court, and the guy was like, hey, are you? And I was like, yeah. I'm like, you have a trade for me? You know?
It's fantastic. No, wait.
That's
so good.
You've opened this door, so this is your fault for what I'm about to ask you. Were you midstream as he's eyeing you and asking you a trade? I think I had just
approached the urinal. So. Okay. I think I was not. So.
That's fantastic.
It would have been legendary if you just turned, he says this, and you go, yeah, it's real and it's spectacular. Yeah. And then you just walked away.
Are you Bobby Marks? ESPN is our guest. So I watched your video. You do these recap videos for the end when teams get eliminated. The Blazers get eliminated. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that you can. We're idiots, Bobby. We need your help here, okay? So. You were explaining in detail the Denny Avdia contract situation.
Yeah,
there's kind of a belief here of like, well, he's got to get paid this offseason. The Blazers are going to give it to him. And you're saying
not so fast,
right? So can you explain why? And then does that change at all if he makes an All-NBA team this year or next year?
Doesn't. No, okay. It does. I mean, I think the hard thing with, his contract is so good. That's the big problem is that, you know, Denny Denny signs that rookie extension with the Wizards. He's actually declining here. Yes, he is. He's extension eligible, I think, in October. And he can extend. He's got 2 years left, and he can extend for 3 years or more. However, because of the rules, he can only extend for 140% of the average player's salary. So, like, let's say ballpark, the total is, like, three for, like, $67 million. That would get tacked on. That's the maximum. The only way you can really get around that is if somehow Portland opens up a boatload of cap space and you can kind of renegotiate the contract. So basically you kind of boost it up there, and that takes with some roster maneuvering also. Now the problem is also, like, you get into next offseason, you're basically going to be in the same position but it's 4 years and at, like, I don't know, let's say like $90 plus million. So I think a little bit probably below market for him. But he has to make the decision if he wants to take guaranteed money. So basically what happened is that one or two things, the renegotiation route, as I explained, but that costs, you know, getting off some money. And then the other thing is basically having a handshake agreement that there's a deal waiting for you when you become a free agent in 2028, I believe.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
He's an interesting player for us because he's had a great year. Yeah. He led them in many ways. He was their only offense at times, and he made an all-star team. We'll have to wait to see on All-NBA. I'm kind of curious just your general synopsis, you talk about the contract element of it, but also like when you get to 2028, let's say there's a wink and a nod of a deal, like is he the kind of player there's a certain limit you're willing to do versus like the traditional, well, no, he was a really good player, we got to max him out here. Like, how do you view Denny Avdia in that light?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, certainly, as 2 years from now, the money will get significantly higher just because the cap will increase and everything like that. So if you're looking at him in 2028, he would be eligible for as a free agent 5 for $316 million. So
that's a lot of money.
You go from a $12 million player to a $55 million player. So how do you get in the middle and everything like that? And that's why, as I said, like he's not going to sign for $21 million per year. So what is the number? Is it in the high 30s, 40, is it low 40? I always say max contracts are based on circumstances. And always the market has to create teams that are interested. But as I said, like, yeah, he's a heck of a player. He's found a home. He's 25 right now, so he's not even in the prime of his career yet. I think there's still some growth for him and everything like that. But yeah, they've got a really nice building block to build around. And as I said, you got to take advantage of those 2 years that he's got left on his contract to add pieces when that salary is so low.
Yeah, people have pointed out for Portland next year, it's kind of unique. Denny and Dame might be their two best players, and they're making like $25 million combined. It's kind of an oddity in the modern NBA.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have. It's like, Victor in San Antonio. When you're on those rookie contracts or when you're on a really, team-friendly deals and stuff like that, you can do a lot of good things with it.
Well, I'm on that note, we're talking Bobby Marks, ESPN front office insider for NBA front office insider for ESPN. I got that the wrong way. And former assistant GM of the Brooklyn Nets, Bobby Marks 42 on Twitter. I'm curious to ask you, Bobby, like you working for the Nets, you've been around a bunch of different NBA organizations. Mm-hmm. You've seen and come across a lot of unique and different owners, I'm sure. Some better than others, some with weird stories, some with good people, like I'm sure runs the gamut. There's a lot of noise in Portland. We have a new owner here, and there's allegations getting thrown out about a cheapness and paying for things or not paying for things, and I don't know how much inside of that you are. I'm just curious what you make of that, the kind of the way this is being talked about in NBA circles and the outlook of having a new leader in charge here of our organization.
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, I've been part of four different ownership groups in my time in New Jersey / Brooklyn. They're all different uniqueness about them, I would say. Certainly, I would equate kind of the ownership group now similar to the second group, which was the Yankee Nets guys. And with that came Lou Lamoriello, who was the GM president of the Devils. So we had a hockey guy that came in and certainly with Tom, who's with Carolina and has a hockey team. And I could say with Lou, having the hockey background, he was awesome for us as far as basically protecting the brand as far as from a basketball operations. I said this on TV a couple weeks ago. When somebody buys a team, the commissioner doesn't give you a manual on how to run it. You're really kind of learning. You're learning on the fly. You're learning all these different rules. You're learning the intricacies of your front office and what comes with it. What's true, what's not true. I know Joe came out and said it was his call not to, bring the two-way guys and stuff like that. And, we'll respect what he said there and everything like that. But owners are always a wild card too, man. Like, you go to Phoenix with Matt Ishbia and he comes in and boom, Durant and Beal, right? And now you're kind of, spinning the wheels and you're set back. So you have to be kind of cautious as far as you really have to. You got to trust you got to trust your front office. You got to trust your business people, the people that you have empowered to be in charge of the organization. And then you have the final say as far as from a financial angle, what makes sense and what doesn't. So it is a unique situation. And as I said, the ownership is always, they're always wild cards and especially new owners that are in this.
Yeah. The things that have been rumored about him, I'm curious. I know people in the NBA like to text other people and colleagues and whatnot and talk off the record. I'm just kind of curious your thoughts of all the stuff being thrown out. One big thing is the coaching salary stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't know what to make of it. And there's reporting that he offered Mike Malone $4.5 million. And then there's everybody saying he wants to pay $1 million. And Doug Christie's the lowest at $2 million. So, just the most concerning thing that you think you've heard that he's either going to learn the hard way or the organization's going to suffer as he learns through it?
I think it's the salary part. I mean, there's a couple of things. I always say this, like, the biggest asset owners have in this day and age of the salary cap and apron, and you got to go by the rules, is the resources that they can provide an organization outside of player salaries here, whether it be everything that comes with it, with where you stay and how you're compensated with your coaching staff or your front office, and the ability to add people to it, and how you travel and what you eat on the plane and everything. Like, that is an ownership thing there. That's basically controlled by that. So I would say that, you know, the salary part, as far as what was offered Tiago, you know, was it a million? Was it a million and a half? Like, that's below the market. Like, it may work in Carolina or maybe some of these other NHL organizations here, but to get a top notch coach, you're going to have to pay. I mean, that's the reality of it here. We've seen it at every situation here. And what happened is if you don't, and you get a guy at a million and a half, they're going to they'll probably 3 years from now move on to another organization and everything. So I think that's the biggest, I guess, concern with that. But You kind of learn through it, and you take bows and arrows and stuff like that, and we'll see what happens at head coach.
Yeah, what do you make just on that last one? And I do have some roster questions for you, but just the idea that conducting a coaching search, because Portland's in a very unique circumstance, right? Like, Chauncey Billups getting arrested one day into the NBA season was weird and unique, and, you know, it's a day Blazer fans will never forget. So we have an interim coach who's not the full-time head coach. Chauncey still hasn't technically been fired. I think that's more of an NBA thing they're waiting on, but they've been going through this coaching search kind of privately, but it's become public of just how disrespectful is that to Tiago Splitter? Is it okay because he's an interim? That's kind of uncharted waters for us.
I think it's, you know, it's almost like you're dating, but we're not married, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the unwritten rule is there. I mean,
it's okay to swipe right on Twitter still because we're not married yet.
Yeah. I mean, you're still living in the same house, right? So, like, I think you could do your due diligence. Listen, if they feel like he's not the right guy and they feel like there's somebody else out there, then yeah, I think you can go look at it, whoever, you know, whether it be Tibbs or, you know, some of these other coaches that are available here. But I think what you have to be careful with is, I think this is somewhat of it's not a rebuild anymore. We throw that out the window, and I don't know if it's quite yet a win now roster. You're trending towards that. Mm-hmm. You got to get the right guy. That's going to be important. And Tiago's been through it with these guys. They've lived through a ton of adversity. And you guys know that firsthand as far as what happened early in the season here, and he earned his stripes. I think during the playoffs, certainly there's probably some things you'd want to be done differently as far as maybe some rotations and some guys who played and who didn't play. But I do think there's a familiarity as far as with that group. And I think sometimes you don't get that when you kind of look outside of your own home.
We'll ask you a random, not random, but roster questions here, Bobby. But one last random question to kind of throw at you is, we have a lot of media members in our market that are, if they're not covering the team, they're constantly fear-mongering about the team. And the NBA relocated the Seattle Supersonics to Oklahoma City years and years ago. I'm just kind of curious, that gets thrown out. We're in the middle of, like, trying to get more money from the city and the local governments for renovations of the Moda Center. Just your thoughts on how the NBA views relocation in itself, given what they went through in 08, and then the Blazers being one of these teams highly talked about by local scribes of, this is a fear, this is real, it could happen.
I think if you're in Portland, I think the ability, I think expansion should damper any thinking of relocation as far as the ability to bring in two teams with whether it be Las Vegas, Las Vegas and Seattle here. I don't see an appetite all of a sudden. Now we're going to be looking at a relocation, like what happened with Vancouver to Memphis and Seattle to Oklahoma City here. I mean, you go and look at the crowds you had. Portland's a great city for basketball and everything. And I think having that, you know, one big pro team there, I think there's the support is there. And yeah, I know I get the arena part of it, and that's a big component of it here. But I would probably sleep a little bit better knowing that, you know, that the expansion part of it is probably the big to do on the NBA's list.
Yeah, couldn't have happened a better time for us. Seattle and Vegas, come on down. And in our time frame, too, or in our region of the country, that helps. Bobby Marks is our guest. Bobby Marks, 42 on Twitter, ESPN NBA front office insider. Now, on the roster, you went over this in your end-of-season video, and people can find that on your Twitter. You posted it and your end-of-the-season article on ESPN.com. When you look at this roster, you mentioned they've taken this step, right? It's competing. You were a 7 seed. Like, it's clearly a right direction year for them, but there's also a lot of questions because some of your key guys are aging. Jrue Holiday, Damian Lillard at the back end of their careers. Some guys who were you were hoping to have bigger years. Scoot Shaden had moments and flashes, but not great. If you're behind the scenes of this organization right now, I guess how would you view this offseason? Because there's a kind of push of like, man, we got all these draft picks, we got these Milwaukee swaps. There's a lot of ammunition in our chamber right now that we could go get something done. Would you view it as this is the offseason to like, let's strike while the iron's hot, give it another year? I'm just curious your thoughts on what their offseason would look like.
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned the ability to have in controlling the Bucks picks that was from the Lillard trade and everything. I think that gives you don't have a first this year, but you're really in good shape in future years here. And there's an opportunity. I always say the hardest thing for organization is taking that next step, right? You go from a team that, won 42 games and you get in the playoffs, you hadn't been there. Now, like, what's next? Like, getting over, instead of just being a play-in team, a team that can contend, for a top five or top six seed and everything like that. And you have the pieces. And, two of your aging, older players, whether it be Drew, who's got 2 years, and Jeremy Grant, who's got 2 years. And then you've got I almost equate them a little bit like how Indiana had set up their books. The year they went to the finals, where you had Siakam and Halbert, and then you had everyone else making less than $20 million. You're in really good shape there. Now, you have to determine, is it with our own group? Is there another step that this group can take? Or is it going to be help from the outside here? And what does that mean? So, the market will open up. Well, I'm sure we'll hear about Giannis more, and we'll hear about some of these other, players that potentially could be available. And I think if you're not totally gutting what you have, I do think this organization is going to be aggressive looking at outside of their own group that's coming back.
How difficult or exciting is it, I think, from a general manager eye or standpoint to try to build a roster that competes with what we saw last night at OKC and what we can see with Ant Edwards playing or San Antonio, which we experienced firsthand? What is that like, I guess, from the vantage point of a Joe Cronin to try to build a roster out that's like, what is the best way to compete against those guys?
It is exciting. I think it is. Listen, the Oklahoma City's built, and they're built for the long haul. And probably, the West is the West. The West will always be pretty dominant and stuff like that. So it is exciting. I think you just have to be cautious that you don't want the one move to backfire on you, and now you're kind of, back in where some of these teams who are in the lottery, consistently in the lottery, have, whether it be Utah or Utah would be better, but Sacramento and teams like that. But you've got, you're not backed up in a corner, as you've talked about with the draft picks and the contracts to go out and do something here. So I do think there's a level of excitement there, but I do also, as I said, you have to kind of caution as far as not making the wrong move.
Yeah, last one I got for you, Bobby. I'm curious. We saw in the NFL a couple of years ago the Deshaun Watson contract got handed out by Cleveland, fully guaranteed, and they kind of became like a lead-wag collusion of like, we're never going to let that happen again. I'm wondering, because some of these names that get thrown out for Portland this offseason, it's like it's going to cost how much to get him? Will there be any sort of come back down on the market after Desmond Bane went for 5 first-round picks and Orlando got bounced in the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, trades are just circumstantial. Like Mikal Bridges, right? It's based on sometimes teams view players a little bit higher than other teams do, and they look at his contract, and they look at him under contract for 3 or 4 more years and him fit, and they think, I always said this. I said this in Brooklyn when I worked in Brooklyn in New Jersey. Like, there's always a sense of arrogance when you work in a front office that you always think you're going to be good. And the cost of what you're doing this summer, that's in 2029, that's in 2031. And then you kind of lose a little bit of sight as far as of the now, and then you're stuck, and then you don't have the picks to get out of the mess that you've been in until you have to trade your own players and stuff like that. So But there'll always be another team. There'll be another team out there this summer, probably trades 4 first-round picks for a maybe not an all-star, all-NBA type player, but a pretty good type of player.
Yeah. Bobby Marks, we love the insight. At Bobby Marks 42 on Twitter, ESPN NBA front office insider. Always appreciate the time, man. Keep up the great work. I'm sure we'll try and reach out to you at some point in the offseason, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Bobby Marks of ESPN. That, great stuff.
Good stuff from Bobby there.
He's one of the best. He can get into the nitty-gritty. The contract stuff is fascinating to me because that's kind of a thing of like, well, Denny's going to get an extension this offseason. It ain't happening.
5-3-16? He's waiting for the 5-3-16.
I mean, right now, literally all he can sign, what did he say, 3-for-60 and next year's 4-for-90? Like, yeah, he's not signing that. He's waiting 2 more
he's
years.
He's waiting for free agency.
Yes.
So he wants the max.
Can you capitalize on that? Lots to react to there. We also have the anonymous survey that came out from the NBA. What Blazers fall on the list in a good or a bad way. We'll tell you who they were, and we'll get into that next. 105.1 FM The Fan. All right, welcome back, Ken. Great stuff from Bobby Marks. If you were taking a leak next to him in an airport bathroom, would you throw a trade at him? All right, Bobby, just real quick. Shaden, Jeremy Grant, 2 first-round picks. Is that enough for Trey Murphy? What do you think? You think they say yes
just
to that, Bobby?
Just midstream, Bobby. Dead silence, staring straight at the wall.
All right, that one's not good. How about this one? Can I throw, how about Drew Holiday? A second-round pick for Kevin Durant. What do you think? You think they'll do it?
I think he turns and just pisses on your shoes. Leave me alone.
God, stop it, dude. Stop it.
There's like that puddle on the ground next to him.
Now you're standing in the puddle. It's like we'll randomly get, not all the time, but occasionally people are like, do you ever get like tickets to like this? And you're like, no. I mean, there are times we get available tickets, but that's not you. You get tickets to the Blazer playoff game? No.
I've had people ask me if I get backstage passes to like
concerts and stuff.
Taylor Swift. I'm like, no, that's not how any of this works.
Not how that works, man. I wish it was. And if it was, I'd be using them and I wouldn't be giving them to you.
I can't get you in the front of Demi Lovato's concert. No. I'm sorry.
Deal says shake twice for yes. Shake twice if it's...
Ooh, we got a flush deal. Flush or no flush, Bobby.
We got a deal, Bobby.
Flush if you take this deal.
We got a deal. So good stuff from him, kind of explaining the Denny Avdia contract situation and just what they're in store for. Hopefully, calming news from Bobby about the idea of the Blazers relocating. I know the majority of our audience does not give much credence to those rumors. Not rumors isn't even a fair word for them. The fear-mongering that exists from some in the media. But I just, it doesn't make any sense to us. They're not moving to Seattle. And if they don't move to Seattle, why would the NBA want when they're trying to balance the conferences? Doesn't make sense. Anyways, the state's going to put pressure on the city. They'll eventually pass the funding and you'll get your $600 million and we'll go from there. I don't think they're moving. They're not going anywhere. This was interesting on anything else from Marks you wanted to react to?
No, I mean, I think he actually highlights a pretty honest reaction here. Now, some people might think Denny's going to take the next leap, right? Like that's one of the bigger questions of the offseason. The coach is important, right? Is Joe Cronin staying here? Do they make a trade? All of that is very huge and fair to be wondering. How much better is Denny going to get?
What's the ceiling for Denny?
Is he just going to be downhill Denny his whole career, who really isn't the most lethal of weapons? We'll get to the NBA player poll on Denny Avdia because I don't know if it's going to be shocking to find out what he ranks in for players. But what is the step? Is it truly the I'm a triple-double machine who is going to make you feel like I'm legitimately a one?
Yeah.
Right?
Like an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
I mean, a guy who's legitimately in the mix and getting, like, I was 7th in MVP voting this year.
Yes.
Not going to win the award. That won't happen.
Well, but Dame 1 year, I think, got what, 3rd?
That's the point. Like, so, 1 year, he rose to that level.
And so I think that's a big thing for them. And I highlighted something that I've been thinking about. We might be 2 years away. So we'll get a real runway of evidence here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying he's going to get 316, but if he's eligible for $316 million over 5 years,
he's taking every penny of that deal.
Well, I mean, is he one of those players? Because I threw that at Bobby, and Bobby had, I thought, a reaction of like,
As of now, the answer is incomplete. And that's why Portland's in a good spot in that case. Because to your point and Bobby's point, you got 2 more years to feel this out. Yeah. If he is the same player the next 2 years, nothing changes.
I'm saying no.
I'm saying no, too.
I'm saying hell no. Yeah. An unequivocal no.
If we're looking at certain guys around the league and saying, I don't want to trade for you because the contract is so big, having a guy who was a very good player, a high-end player in the NBA, but somewhat limited in certain ways offensively.
That's $63.2 million a year.
It's a lot of money, man. That's a huge chunk of your salary cap.
You know, on average, that's what we're talking about.
Yes, so that's a massive commitment financially.
That's, you know, we're still a year or two from that, but just interesting to think about how
yes.
players and people like Bobby Marks, who are pretty smart, there's obviously I think this of him, but like, what is the threshold upper echelon version of it? We still don't know. We have to wait and see. But no. I think right now you'd get almost a unanimous 5-3-16.
Not yet. No, not yet. No, no. And to his credit, last year we were asking the season, and you go back 365 days ago, it was, okay, he was terrible in the first half of the year, elite in the second half of the year, and what Denny Avdia will show up. And we now have our answer. We have a full season of good Denny Avdia, very good Denny Avdia. And now I think the question has transitioned from that to, can he take another? Is there another gear here that you can kick it into? He's only 25 years old. He seems like a guy who takes his craft very seriously.
He's gotten better.
He's gotten better every year, like he's improving. So there's no reason he can't get there.
Yeah.
But I do think in order to get to that financial status, there is another element or another gear that he's got to kick it into.
Yep.
On the Denny Avdia front, The Athletic released this. Whenever you get these, it's just great. I love anonymous polls because you get honest opinions from people.
This one's...
Some of it's dumb. Some of it you laugh at. Some of it seems petty. And some of it is just hilarious. So the Athletic put together a anonymous poll around the NBA for NBA players. So they released this questionnaire to a bunch of NBA players. I think it was 151 or 161 players.
About 4 to 5 things that they were asked about.
Yeah, just very generic, like, and you name kind of whoever you want. I don't know if they gave them options, like multiple choice. Probably not, just fill in the blank. And one of the questions, we'll go through some of these. Some of them shine a light positively on Blazers. Others, not so much. They asked, who is the league's most underrated player? Mm-hmm. Out of 151 votes, 2 players tied for first, and that was Jalen Johnson and Derek White. Do we agree with the player assessment?
Derek White had a little bit of a dip offensively, I thought, this year, especially come the postseason time. But, yeah, I'm not mad at those two options. Jalen Johnson he flew under the radar all year until Atlanta got hot.
Yeah.
And then he became a name that, Jalen Johnson. I'll watch this guy in the playoffs. We know what Derek White's value is and what he can mean to a team in winning. So, yeah. No, I'm not really that upset about underrated players.
It's obviously a small vote total. They only got 4% of the vote because everybody's throwing out a random name that
comes
to mind.
I think to your point,
right?
Yeah, there's not like a poll. It's just write down who you think the most underrated player is.
Then there are 4 guys who showed up tied for second at just over 3%. So do the math on however many votes that is. Those 4 guys are Jaylen Brown in Boston, who we talked about leading as the number one guy this year.
He seems to want his own team.
Maybe he does. I have odds on that, by the way, in a moment. Peyton Pritchard. Out of Boston.
Fast PP,
yep. Right there. Austin Reeves, our guy who can't make a shot to save his life in the playoffs currently.
Very good player. He needs to get it going.
Showing up. And how does the NBA feel about a Portland Trailblazer? Let me tell you, Drew Holiday tied for the second most votes total in this category of most underrated player in the NBA.
And I would agree with this. Like, Derek White kind of falls into the same thing here. This isn't just about raw skill talent that way. It's also about impact. Locker room leadership. Yes. Like, I think people do view Drew Holiday, obviously a stud basketball player, one of the best perimeter defenders in league history. But also, he just seemingly, it's weird, everywhere he goes, they end up getting better.
Get better.
And Boston wins the title. Milwaukee wins the title.
Yeah, it was a funny reminder to me throughout the year watching and now seeing how we feel as a city. And mark my words, this will happen whatever we do this offseason, of the takeaways and thoughts when that trade initially went down to how people feel about Drew Holiday now.
I wasn't mad that they moved on from Ant. I was more concerned about the contract of Drew Holiday.
And it's still a fear.
His last year in Boston wasn't particularly the most inspiring.
Nope.
We also don't know if he's going to be a Blazer next year.
We do not.
He might be somebody traded.
But I think based on this and what he was able to do behind the scenes and on the floor, like, his impact was felt significantly more in one season so far than Anfernee Simons ever was.
Yeah.
In Portland. Shaedon Sharpe, by the way, also got a couple of votes on this list.
So yeah, he's tied for Cooper Flagg.
As the most underrated player in the NBA. So somebody has a Shaedon Sharpe head out there. Don't move on from him.
Don't think we feel great about that, by the way.
Let's go to the other category. This is the negative side. Most overrated player in the NBA. There was a runaway freight train for first place on this one. Not a staggered list. Most overrated player, according to NBA players, Şengün in Houston.
Alperen Şengün.
12% of the vote. Yeah. That is an overwhelming number. Next highest was Rudy Gobert and Trae Young at 8.6%, and then Karl Anthony Towns at 7.4%.
Yeah, look, a lot of this, it's player-led, right? This is largely driven, and you could say this for the underrated versus overrated too, but it's funny how these shake out. Like, Şengün, I can get with it. I think he's a very good player. I do think he's a bit overrated. He bitches and moans as much, if not more, than any player in the league for foul calls. I actually thought he had a really bad series against Lakers. He should have had way better numbers than he had.
This was like the step up year and be a guy year, and they still lost in the first round.
Rudy Gobert, I mean, how is he overrated? He's exactly who he is.
Is it the deep boys?
Why? What would you be mad about? He's a legitimate deep boy.
I know.
Not just because he's wanted.
Isn't it rare? Like, what has he got, three in his career?
Yes.
It's a pretty rarefied air. I'm trying to find an answer.
You know, even Carl Anthony Towns, I'd say, like, I get it. He talks a lot of mess, and he has some real no-shows. Overrated?
Yeah.
I find some of these are odd to me, but yeah, whatever. Beefs are going to be beefs.
That is certainly, there's always an edge to this, right? There is a Blazer who shows up in the most overrated category. We'll get to that on the other side. There's also some questions about coaches.
The coach one's...
it's interesting, right?
There's a coach on this list that's overrated or like least impressive. Yes. And I'm like, why is that guy on this list?
That guy, huh? And then praise for one guy on one side of the ball. So some more Blazers showing up on this list. We'll continue on that front. And then also, we have our Portland Fire making their debut this weekend. So a lot of people...
Well, their regular season debut.
This is when it counts now. Now it's real.
They had 13,500 people show up for
a preseason game. It's an incredible number, dude. The numbers are going to be great. Good. It's going to kill in Portland. You know why? We love basketball here, man.
Yep.
And we support women's sports. So it's two for two. We have Portland Fire players trying to... pronounce things around the city, which is always a fun experiment to have.
So think we'll CJ McCollum, Willametta.
Willametta. We'll have some fun with that audio. Finish up the NBA player survey. And that is coming up next, 105.1 FM The Fam. Rick rolling our way into the final hour of the show. Welcome back, everybody. 8:45.
This guy's white.
Rick Astley, man. He's white.
Did he have no more songs?
I don't know enough about Never Gonna Give You Up, my man Rick. I'm assuming you only had one. This is a rare moment. We're missing Jason Swigard here. If anybody can answer that question, Jason Swigard can answer that question.
Well, he obviously never had a banger. The level of Never Gonna Give You Up.
No.
But, like, did he have any other bangers?
He is 60 years old.
Holy hell, man. I mean,
you'd never seen Rick Astley before?
No, I'd seen the music video for that song. It's just crazy to Google image and see him at 60 and like hear the voice. Because he doesn't have a white guy singing voice.
No, he does not.
Let's just call a spade a spade, all right?
Let's see what Google AI says. It says, yes, he did have several major hits beyond Never Gonna Give You Up, particularly in the 1980s.
He had one, Take Me to Your Heart.
Yeah, Together Forever hit number one in the U.S. She wants to dance with me
bangers,
whenever you need somebody, and Cry for Help. All 14 charted singles.
Would you pay to see Rick Astley, or
if you
were given tickets?
No, I don't even think I would go if you gave me free tickets.
Really, you wouldn't want to see him? Never going to give you up live at 60 years old.
What am I going to do with that? I tell people, do I brag about that? That's a night out.
That's not a brag. It's just something to do. I don't know.
Would I rather be on my couch watching TV? Probably.
Never going to give you up.
I got to go deal with traffic. Now I got to find a place to park. How much is beer costing? I got to wait in line.
Rick Astley got like smoker's lung at 60.
Never going to give you up.
He can't get through the whole song anymore.
Hold on.
I mean, it is a jam. Every time it comes on, I'll dance to it.
Oh, it's a great tune.
Some thoughts are coming in on Denny, and I want to get to those in a moment because we were mentioning the contract and what it might look like.
Yeah.
So on the most overrated player, we're going through The Athletic. They came out with a player survey around the NBA. Mm-hmm. Random anonymous survey, NBA players voting on different topics. One of the most overrated players, Şengün, was number one. We mentioned Gobert, Trae Young, and Karl Anthony Towns showed up next on the list. You know who is seventh on this list? Our guy Turbo.
Yeah.
Our guy Downhill Denny.
Yeah.
The only players who are more overrated, according to NBA players, than Denny Avdija or Ja Morant, Paolo Banchero, and then the other names that I mentioned.
So, well, he's also tied with...
showed up on that list.
Luka Doncic.
He is, so maybe that makes you feel good. Scottie Barnes also in there, and Pascal Siakam also in there.
How is Siakam overrated? I don't know. These people have weird beefs. Like, how is Dylan Brooks not higher?
Yeah. He is next. He's in the next category of guys who got some votes.
Dylan Brooks are looked at as the same overrated.
It's funny because, and I'm just not in the same bubble as the NBA circles.
The NBA Finals last year. What are we doing here?
It's just funny, like when Scottie Barnes is on this list, and I'm thinking to myself, how is Scottie Barnes rated to be overrated?
I mean, he's a
Scotty Barnes is a good player.
The Raptors were a good story this year.
I don't ever hear him in conversations, though, of like...
It's because people don't talk about the Raptors.
No, no, they don't, even though they are the North. Like, Banchero, I could get. I see your points.
Evan Mobley? I'd vote Evan Mobley.
Evan Mobley's probably a good one.
He has not developed in any way
offensive
the way I thought he would.
Does
so
not
I'd
exist.
Say overrated, sure.
So our guy Turbo showed up on that list. He was the only Blazer in that category.
Brandon Podziemski made the list.
I mean, he is kind of.
Why is 2.5% of the league even view him as overrated? He's just. Brandon Podziemski.
He's rated properly.
He's
I don't,
just a Podziemski.
When was the last time you thought about Brandon Podziemski?
Like, why did somebody seriously write, hey,
I hate that guy.
I need you to write down, who do you think the most overrated player in the league is?
It was probably Draymond Green.
Brandon.
Dude, speaking of which, did I knock your headphones off on that one? Yeah. Speaking of which, did
you? Podziemski being written by Draymond is a great poll.
I've now been pulled into this Austin Rivers Draymond Green beef. It's
did
in
you
my
see
algorithm.
That video? I almost pulled the audio.
So I've seen the video. I didn't realize where it all started, and then right. The responses that have come, and now the back and forth that have happened. Draymond Green arguing that Steve Kerr was a hindrance to his career. And complaining about not having an offensive play called for him for 10 years.
It's a pretty wild
thing. Is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard a human being say in my entire life. Like, I don't even like Austin Rivers, although I did earn respect for him out of that playoff series when everybody got hurt.
I'll say that.
And he was balling out. Like,
that point, I've turned on him.
He went
in
from
every
like
way.
A Nepo baby of like, get this bitch out of the NBA, too. You know what, dude? You played your ass off, man. Good for you.
So his video, we didn't pull the audio. We should have. He basically goes at Draymond because Draymond goes at him.
Yes.
And I'll give him credit. He pulled up some very valid things. He said, I was the number one ranked player in high school. And then he points to the Player of the Year award.
Yes.
And then he goes, I was first team all ACC. I was ACC freshman of the year.
Yes.
You were what in college? I was a one and done.
I was one and done. He played 3 years in college.
Yeah. And so he points and he goes, look, career, I'll give it to you. You
yes.
have a better career. I'll give you that. But he's so right to point out the ridiculous comment of Steve Kerr
hindering?
Held him back.
Holding you back?
He then goes into the Draymond. You're a backpack, man.
Nobody guards you.
Nobody guards you. You get wide open shots every game. What are you talking about?
One of the dumbest, like, Draymond's a smart basketball mind. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard come out of somebody's mouth.
Terrible take.
Sums up who Draymond Green is, though, right? Finishing up the survey, by the way, which current coach, aside from your own, do you find most impressive? Joel Mazzulla ran away with this.
He's a psycho. I get it.
He is, dude. I'd love to have him as a coach. Dagnault.
Somebody,
number two.
Somebody threw out at me when Boston got eliminated. He goes, you know, if there was ever a coach to get hired in Portland that would absolutely demand to live in the apartment inside the Moda Center, it's definitely Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, I'm not leaving this place.
And I responded with, oh, I will one up it. Joe Mazzulla not only lives in that apartment, Joe Mazzulla stands in front of the window that we can all see, butt-ass naked, staring off into the court with one cup of coffee.
Good morning.
It's time to grind.
Going over my rotations. What
it's time to watch
do?
The town and grind.
What are we going to do? Last one on this list, by the way. Which current coach, aside from your own, do you find least impressive? Now, this is a funny one for me because I can't even tell you who this guy coaches. Brian Keefe.
Brian Keefe made the list. Doug Christie made
the
list.
Hold on.
Okay.
Brandon. Do you know who Brian Keefe is the head coach of?
I do not.
Can I don't say this? I don't want you to give the answer. Can people text in where Brian Keefe is the head coach?
Without Googling. Don't cheat here.
503-864-6326. Do you know who Brian Keefe coaches? I'm going to leave it at that. We'll start the final hour with the answers to that question. By the way, Doc Rivers and Doug Christie showed up at the
did
top
you know?
Three. I have no idea. I still don't know. I haven't Googled it.
Don't.
I have no idea.
When you find out, you'll go, that tracks.
Okay. Sounds about right. Let's end with some fun with audio here. This is always great. So the Fire play their first regular season game. It's a big weekend, man. The support's going to be awesome. The crowd at the preseason home game was insane.
Yeah.
Our guy Nick Krupke's killing it, dude.
Like, on the Rose City Sports
exciting
Net.
Stuff, man. So they asked a bunch of different Fire players. We have some unique words and phrasing and pronunciations around the area. And they asked different Fire players to pronounce things around Oregon and Portland. And it's pretty funny.
Coach Street. Couch Street. Coach. Okay. Couch Street.
I knew it.
Willamette Valley.
Willamette.
Let me say a little bit
Frenchy.
A little meth belly. It was close.
Yeah. Yachts.
Yeah, Jets. I was like, yeah, Jets, that doesn't even sound good.
Aloha.
Aloha.
You're the first person to get that one correct then.
Ditches River.
Deschutes River.
That's
I'm a
good
local at this point.
Multnomah Falls.
Yes!
Oh, Multnomah Falls hard.
Multnomah Falls.
Outthink in the room.
That's three.
Three me.
I will say, the Willamette, I get. I get why people screw it up.
I get it. I understand.
Yahats, I totally get.
Totally
I understand
get.
Why people get that wrong.
I get it.
Cooch, totally get it.
Cooch, understand.
I mean,
yeah.
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 So some of these I don't
know.
Noma really...
Falls is the only one I'm like, really?
That's the one, yeah.
Deschutes, I can see Deschutes being challenging.
Yeah.
You know.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. Aloha.
I always said Aloha.
Yeah, she said that was right saying Aloha.
Yeah.
Is it ha or huh?
I mean, I literally lived there.
You did.
I
Aloha.
Had, everybody's like, are you in Beaverton or Aloha? And I'd be like, I live in Aloha.
I'm not even from here.
Yeah, if it's a phonetically spelled, I feel like it's an H-U. If we're hooked on phonics spelling it, Aloha.
Am I wrong?
Aloha.
I mean, look at me. I'm playing the game. I've lived here my
whole
life.
We're not saying hello, goodbye. It's not Aloha. We're not in Hawaii.
I've always been on the idea that it's Aloha.
Okay. Well, we'll start the final line there. Is it Aloha or Aloha? And do you know who Brian Keefe is the head coach of? We'll play for that fun game to start the final hour. Statter story around the corner as well. And we'll get to that it'd be about 9:27-ish, 9:30-ish. Statter story coming up. And the good playoff series continue in the NBA tonight. It's a loaded final hour on Wednesday next, 105.1 FM The Fan.